This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I've always felt that, you know, it doesn't matter who you fall in love with.
Basic human rights should apply to all people, including gay people.
Hi, I'm Emma Caulfield.
And I'm Amber Benson.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Call our brothers and sisters who aren't part of the mainstream norm. Zines attract those people because it gives them an ability to voice their own identity.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and talking tonight to Otherworld Zine Fairs, one of their organisers. It's a zine fair that's on May the 21st, this week coming up, Saturday, May the 21st, in Sydney Town, and I'm talking to Hon. Hon Boy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Sonia.
Yeah, cool. No worries. So you are one of the organisers of Otherworld's Zine Fair?
I am, yes. There's about 5 or 6 of us.
Mm-hmm.
We try to put it together every year. Yeah. Our third year was in 2014. We're coming into our third one.
Third year.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about the Otherworld Zine Fair?
Well, the Otherworld Zine Fair started in 2014. As a reaction to the MCA, or the Museum of Contemporary Art Zine Fair.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of came about during the boycott of the Biennale because of their links to Transfield, who were the service providers for the detention centres in Nauru and Manus Island. And so there were a bunch of us zinesters who kind of didn't feel comfortable taking part in the MCA Zine Fair and decided, rather than just boycott it, we thought we'd start our own one on at the same day. And so that was how we started.
So, yeah, it's got that very strong political sense to it, and I guess that reflects in the work. Is that important to you, that work that's brought to the Zine Fair reflects that?
Absolutely. We don't want to kind of determine what type of zine come into the fair, but I think zines inherently, their history and the fact that they're produced through DIY means that they are inherently political. And even though they may not be explicitly political, they could just be, I don't know, a comic about what you had for dinner tonight. But the fact that it's made, it's self-publishing and it's made independently makes zines political, even though the content may not be viewed traditionally as political.
One of the people that I was due to interview, of course, is Safda Ahmed.
Great artist,
done some wonderful breakthrough
too,
you know, with his winning of a Walkley for his piece. Is that the norm to have people of that calibre? Well, you know,
I wish.
That's probably the wrong thing to say.
It was. No. I wish it was. I wish we could say, but Safda is an amazing artist and an amazing human being and an amazing activist. And what he does with his art and what he does outside of his art is kind of quite extraordinary. So no, it's not the norm. But having said that, you know, I think everyone that kind of decides that they want to put something on or has the courage to be creative and to put themselves in a public sphere like a zine fair, like that is amazing in itself. And whenever we organize this, I'm always amazed at how courageous artists can be when they kind of put themselves on paper and then are willing to show other people their soul on paper, you know? And so I guess it is the norm in some ways, and I guess Safda is quite an extraordinary person as well. So.
Yeah. Yes, I came to the awareness of Safda through Michael P. Fakaris and the Silent Army.
They're a great collective.
They are, aren't they? Fabulous, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
So for Sydney, are there many zines, fairs of this sort of size? Because it's relatively growing, I would say. It's getting bigger.
I hope it's getting bigger. The MCA zine, for a long time, the MCA zine fair was the biggest zine fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because the MCA is a massive cultural institution, has received heaps of funding, both from corporate, private and government donors. And so, yeah, and they were able to market. So they were definitely the biggest zine fair for many years. But Otherworlds, I think, are very close to overtaking them. You know, we've got nearly 100 tables. We've got about 150 stallholders. You know, it's just grown so much. So I think there aren't many big zine fairs happening, especially for kind of, but I think Otherworlds, is one of the biggest.
And you were doing a possible crowdfunding project as well.
We are. That's all nerve-wracking as well.
Yeah.
But
When does that finish?
I think it'll finish on the day. So I think it'll finish on Saturday the 21st, which is in a week.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's looking good. We're quietly confident, but you never know until you hit that mark. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Look, a lot of these sorts of crowdfunding things, they seem to go a bit quiet, and then there's the last minute, you know, there's the rush for the finishing line. So I'm sure you'll do well. Let's hope so.
Yeah, we'll put social media. Oh, sorry. Yep.
Sorry. No, we'll put that up on the social media as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And your background, Honboy, obviously you're an artist too, or creator for making zines. I take it?
I am. I started, like heaps of people, I'm 33 now. I started, I think my first zine was when I was 12 or 13. I got into zines because I really enjoyed listening to punk music. And,
okay.
You know, punk and zines have a shared history, I guess. And so that was when I first made my zine. And, yeah, so I'm lucky because I work as a graphic designer, my career. So I'm lucky I'm surrounded by creative work and creative people day to day. But, yeah, I also run with a couple of people a record label and a small publishing company, and I'm also part of a photo collective when we put together photo books and photo zines. Try to be as creative as possible. Try to keep myself busy, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Oh, I'll have to put the links up for those too.
Pretty
really amazing.
Appreciate that.
Oh, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, but it's nothing like, well, you'd know. You've got two shows, though. You run two shows.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what story is this one going for? I could imagine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for this sort of thing, the zine culture can cross over into so many different areas and different elements, you know, with obviously equality, equal rights and things like that, and feminism and all those sorts of things. Otherworlds Zine Fair seems to be somewhere for that content to be expressed. Would you say that's the case?
I think so. I think one of the key factors about zines is that because it's all about self-publishing, you are in complete control of what you want to say, and you aren't relying on the permission of other people to say that. And so in that way, I think zines attract voices which aren't normally given the ability to have their voices heard. So often they're the marginalized, whether they be queer, people of color, you know, women, all the kind of the array of people that we call our brothers and sisters who aren't part of the mainstream norm. Zines attract those people because it gives them an ability to voice their own identity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. I mean, in the 80s, zines were probably at their, you know, it's that stage of time, were at their sort of height, I suppose, and that brings in the whole punk ethic and the DIY ethic. And it seems like it's come to that point where it's important again to have this DIY, this kind of community, and zines are such a good way because, you know, it's more affordable for one thing. When you don't have access to the mainstream and the keys are taken away from you, or you never even see the keys. Do you know what I mean? You're never allowed to pass.
You're not even allowed to look at the door.
You're not even allowed in the ground floor,
of
the big building. And it's like, it's so good to see zines filling that gap and carrying that tradition and watching it evolve again. So, yeah. All other worlds.
Absolutely.
Wish
it's
you
just like community radio, isn't it? Kind of,
very similar. I mean,
very, very similar. Yeah,
a zine for the air waves. You know,
it is.
That's what I'd like to see.
that's so true. Zine for the air.
Mm. Well, a friend of mine the other day, he showed me a copy of a magazine, and it was just weird looking at. He was in the magazine, and he's just so left of center. Like, he's not mainstream. He's a filmmaker, and there's no way that he would be seen anywhere in mainstream. He wouldn't be in a magazine, let's just say. It wouldn't happen. But these people in Brisbane, I haven't got their name, but they've got together and they've made this magazine. One copy, and it looks amazing. It's actually glossy and everything. And they've included lots of things that would be normally in very much a DIY zine sort of space. So it's really interesting. And, of course, they've run out of money, so that's it. They probably won't do another one, but it's pretty amazing, you know. And I think, well, maybe that is a waste of money. I don't know. But at the same time, I just think, you know what, it's kind of cool as well, because it's like saying, we can do it too, and without following those same rules.
Absolutely. I think using kind of the physical and visual language of, say, a mainstream publication, like a glossy tabloid,
then
subverting that with content that is so left of what you would expect to find, I think.
Exactly. It was quite
shocking. It's like
creating shocking.
Ego or something, kind of flipping the energy.
It was shocking too. It was like,
God. It sounds like an amazing piece, especially because it was just, they only produced one copy, did that. I think that's so good that they just decided to put their all into, they didn't hedge their bets, you know, they just decided to
that's a risk.
Go all out,
yeah.
All or nothing.
Yeah. There's so many wonderfully creative people who don't get that chance because, A, they don't fit into the what's expected, you know. They're not from film school. They're not from art school. You know, they're just doing their thing. And it's the struggle, I think. It's really interesting. But it's also painful to watch them go through it. And
It is, because you put so much more of yourself, whether that's financial or emotionally, when you don't have access to those tools.
Absolutely.
And it is, and as I said, it's courageous to see kind of people willing to do that, to put themselves on the line, you know, both emotionally and financially, and just to kind of put everything into creating their art, you know.
Yeah, it's wonderful because I went to the, of course, the Festival of Photocopier, which is held every February here in Melbourne. And it's around about 200-300 tables. And it's just a plethora of variety and diversity. It's like, it's just amazing. Who can make a zine? It's like amazing.
Yeah, the Sticky Institute guys down there who organise it are just a great hub for not only kind of Melbourne zinesters, but kind of, you know, for Australia.
Yes, so definitely.
They've really become a real cultural institution.
Yeah, is there something similar in Sydney? I don't know Sydney very well, but is there a similar?
No, there isn't. There isn't, unfortunately. There's no, you do, every now and then there are kind of pop-up shops which kind of stock, you know, zines. Like, I think the last one that happened in Sydney were a bunch of guys called Pressbooks who kind of stocked self-published books, but there's never been anything that's had the longevity of Sticky, which is unfortunate. I think there are a bunch of reasons. Funding is another, but I think also real estate in Sydney and the high cost of real estate rent in Sydney is also another prohibitive factor. And I'd probably get shot down for saying this, but I think Melbourne has such a rich cultural history, like, you know, compared to Sydney, that I think there's a greater need or demand for it in Melbourne. So unfortunately that doesn't exist in Sydney, which is kind of where hopefully other worlds can kind of feel that gap.
Mm.
Fingers crossed we can kind of do our part. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And you never know what it might lead on to.
You never know. It would exactly. be great if we could afford a shop front, another world shop front.
Who
knows?
That's another crowdfunder or something, another...
Isn't it? That would be a very big, possible campaign.
That would be a huge one. You'd need a lot for that, so can you give us the details again about Otherworld Zine Fair coming up Saturday the 21st?
That's it. So Otherworld Zine Fair is on Saturday the 21st at Marrickville Town Hall. Doors open at 11 for the public, and it'll wrap up at 4. Come along, there are about, as I said, nearly 100 tables, over 150 storeholders with some really, really great artists and a whole bunch of artists which I'm unfamiliar with as well, which always leads to great surprises. So, yes, please come along if you're in town.
Cool, excellent. And you've got the Possible campaign as well, still going strong.
We do. Got the Possible campaign. If you just look up Otherworld Zine Fair on Possible, grab a whole bunch of zines and posters and tote bags. That'll help. That the money that we're raising for that goes to paying for all the table hire. So if we can get that, it means all the tables will be paid for, which is a great relief for us. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great. Excellent. Yeah. Well, Hon Boy, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Sci-Fi and Scream about the Otherworld Zine Fair.
No, thank you so much, Sonia, for having us. It's great, as I said, community radio and the work that you guys do is kind of so important to keeping arts in Australia and Melbourne in particular.
Yes, well, we'll see what happens after the there's been 1.4 million cut. So
it is very scary, I think.
It's like community television, the same thing there. It's just, you know, they cut away and then they wonder, where do people like Wally Dali come from? Well... Hello.
Absolutely. Even their beloved Rove, you know, started from community television.
Exactly.
You know, I remember watching his show on Channel 31. And these people don't come up in a vacuum. They're nurtured and they're created and they're trained through community media.
Mm. And the same with zines. Although zines remain special because they kind of remain zines, don't they?
There is a smaller barrier to entry with zines. All you need is is access to a photocopier and a pen and paper, which is which makes things great starting point for artists. Yeah, and also end point. You know, like I think the majority of artists who are coming to other worlds, myself included, see zines as the end point, not just as a stepping stone.
Yeah,
to something
exactly.
Bigger. Yeah,
I think that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, you said better. Oh, cool. Well, thank you for speaking to us there, Hon.
No, thank you, Sonia, for having us.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi-and-scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.